Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. I am Magla Pillay from South Africa, and I have here in the studio with me today Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. Today's particular subject of interest to us is called Inner Power. The purpose of this show is to look at various aspects of the title, why people make the decisions that they do, why we have become what we have become, and why the world is in the condition that it is. We look at what brought us to this current point in humanity. We notice that most people wish to do the right thing, but unfortunately, they tend to act against their conscience. We will examine why this is the case. Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us today, and a very, very warm welcome.
Thank you.
Inner power is not something that many people possess, do they?
Well, I think a lot of people would admit to running on empty, so no, they don't.
And what exactly is empty?
Empty means that the essential qualities of your being, your soul, are eroded, used up, depleted, and you just are operating like a car that's running out of petrol.
Would you say that inner power can be obtained from outside of yourself? If your car is empty, you go to the garage. Is there a garage for the soul?
I would say there is.
Really? Okay, in which case we'll all run to this garage.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
But you won't find it along the street. It's much more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Because the power of the soul is the spiritual power. And so you can fill yourself with spiritual power by going to the source, which is the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Spirit, God, the higher power. There are many different names for this, but it is not an earthly source.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that we have to go beyond the material world to reach that. And for that, we have to detach from the physical.
I need to know what has brought us to this current condition, because it cannot be the case that we were always without inner power. Something must have happened. I know that a cell phone battery loses its power over time. How does the soul operate that we reach this condition of having zilch inside?
Well, the soul in many ways is like a cell phone battery. Any type of energy that comes into motion gets used up. So the soul is a spiritual energy, but once you incarnate into a human body, you start doing activities, you're going to tire yourself, you're going to use up your spiritual strength, and this happens over a long period of time. But now, how do we fill up? That's the question.
Now that you've shared the understanding of God, how does one, what steps does one follow to actually get there? What do you do?
Well, God is very, very subtle. God, I would go so far as to say, God is extraterrestrial. We are terrestrial people, we live on the earth, but the soul is not a terrestrial object, you know. The soul comes from somewhere beyond, comes to earth, takes a body, performs, and in the process loses power. So then the question arises, where does the soul come from? And I rather like this image that you get. I don't know if it's global, but at least in England, where I come from, you see photographs or little images of storks carrying babies. And this, they say to children, this is how babies come. The stork brings the baby. Now, of course, that is quite clearly not the case. But why does that image exist? It is, of course, a stork is a bird, and the soul is really something that flies. So the child that comes is not so much the body of the baby, but the spirit, the soul of the baby comes flying into the womb and then gets born. So we have to fly here from somewhere. And that somewhere is beyond the material universe.
Okay.
That makes us also, in that sense, extraterrestrial. We are not of this world. We have become worldly people. And that worldliness, that materialism that has infiltrated into the soul has actually been the principal cause of depletion of our spiritual energy.
Sorry, could you say that again? The
worldliness of our consciousness, that means when we have thought of ourselves as material objects, material people, this materialism is the principal cause of the loss of our spiritual power.
Okay, and you are saying that it can be redeemed.
Well, it can be reacquired by connecting with the source, who is the supreme being, who also dwells beyond the material universe. And so in order for us spiritually to go beyond the material universe, we have to detach from the consciousness of the physical body.
And how does one do that?
You do it by thinking about it.
Okay.
The way that you identify, you think of yourself, you go in front of the mirror, you say, that is me. Or somebody takes a photograph of you, you say, that is me. So you identify with your body.
Mm-hmm.
Or you say, I am dark, I am fair, I am tall, I am short. It's actually not exactly true. The body is tall, short, dark, fair, thin, fat, whatever. But the spirit within is very, very subtle. But nevertheless, this is the energy. Also, we can say the life force, spark of life. And it is just a tiny spark. But that spark has lost power. So that spark has to detach by thinking about it and start thinking, I am just a tiny spark of light, I am not this body. And by thinking powerfully enough and in a focused enough way, you can actually separate from your body. And you can, even in meditation, when you're very focused, very concentrated, you can actually get to a point where you can no longer feel your body. But you don't need to, you know, literally leave your body. It's a matter of attitude and of setting your consciousness and just letting go of the consciousness of the body. And then you just go in your mind beyond this world into the world of light, which is also known as nirvana. Nirvana being a world where there is no sound, not even the sound of a thought. So it's a very, very silent, bright, unworldly place. And it is here that the soul can have an encounter with the Supreme Being. And in that encounter, there is a transfer of energy from the Supreme Soul, who is full, into the soul, who is empty. So just making contact between those two causes the transfer. And then when you feel full, for as long as you can hold that contact, then you bring yourself back to everyday reality, and you continue to practice in that way, and you start to fill yourself with inner power.
To what extent has our relationships with other people contributed to our loss of power? Our relationships with people, animals, the world, how did that add up, or shall I say subtract?
You know, there's three things that really influence the soul, and one is people, one is places, one is things. Because the soul, when it comes in, when it perceives those things, is attracted by those things, starts to desire those things, starts to want to take energy from people, places and things from which it cannot take energy, so then it becomes disappointed, angry, and then this causes the soul to really lose power. So the soul is hungry, trying to feed itself, but going to the wrong places. People, places and things cannot give you what you need. They give you a little bit of temporary respite from your spiritual hunger, but then it comes back again more powerfully than it was before.
What do you mean by spiritual hunger? What is the soul hungry for?
Well, look at when you, as a body, you eat maybe two or three times a day, and you need that fuel to keep going. And if you don't get food, you will starve, and you will feel weak, and then you will feel hungry, and your mind will be occupied with trying to get food. So in the same way, the soul also gets depleted, and when the soul is empty, it's occupied with thoughts of getting full. But when the soul thinks, I am a material body, then you start to try to fill by satisfying physical appetites. When you separate from the body in your thinking, then you start to realize that physical appetites will not satisfy the soul. That's not possible. And so you have a spiritual appetite as well, but it cannot be satisfied by people, by places or by things. It can only be satisfied by contact with the Supreme Being. And once you have tasted that, once you have started to fill yourself, will you know that that is the only thing that can really satisfy you?
Sister Denise, so what does the human soul need?
Probably the first thing that you look for is peace, because the soul is distressed, disturbed, agitated. And then once you have got a bit of peace, then you start to think, well, you know, what I need now is love.
So we need peace.
We need peace.
Before we need love.
I think so, yeah. And then you start to, you know, enjoy some love, and then you say, well, you know, I need power. And because I've got to be strong. You get hungry for spiritual power. And then you say, you know what? I need happiness. Not just the temporary happiness that comes from gratifying some physical desires, but a very deep spiritual happiness that I would actually call bliss, you know. And these are what I also call the fundamental components of the soul, and the one which is very, very subtle is purity. Peace, you can tell what that feels like. Love, that feels something different. Power is a different feeling. Happiness, bliss is a different feeling. But purity is so subtle, it's not a feeling. But very, very subtle. I mean, when you feel clean, when you feel uncontaminated, unpolluted, it's a very, very refined thing. And this is really key. Once a soul feels that, yeah, I am pure, it takes away those feelings of unworthiness or feelings of being being contaminated somehow, and you really start to come into your own as you start to fill with these qualities, and then your instruments of consciousness start to be able to work very well. And your instruments of consciousness is your mind, first of all, your thinking, your perception, and then your rational capabilities, your capacity to think clearly, your intellect, your conscience, all of these things start to work properly, and then your essential personal characteristics, your individuality, starts to correspond with who you truly are at your essence, you know. And then you say, well, I start to feel much more integrated with myself.
I couldn't help but notice that when you mention the virtues of the soul, you mention things like peace and etc. But when you look at the opposite of peace, which I assume is anger, if I'm wrong, you'll tell me, and the opposite of satisfaction, contentment, is greed, those, it seems that the weaknesses of a human being involve some amount of action, whereas the virtues that you just described, they're just being. How does the thing about goodness is it doesn't have an action associated with it, whereas the virtues that you mentioned are almost like an inaction. So how does one, say for example you're a passionate person, okay, I don't believe passion is a vice. Okay, you're passionate, you give yourself wholeheartedly to something, perhaps someone, but also something, and you want to still experience whatever it is that you just described because it sounds wonderful. Okay, it sounds like home for every soul on the planet. But how does one make the transition from the action to that state that you just described?
The state of completion, where everything is there, is stable. But when you're empty, there's a striving because you're trying to get full. When you're full, you don't have to do anything about it. When you're empty, you're in trouble.
Striving, you're striving to compensate for the emptiness?
Yes.
You're. Okay. And it cannot be compensated.
Well, you're compensating in the wrong places.
Okay.
A soul has to be filled from another soul, but all souls are empty. So if you try and fill yourself from another human being, the other one is also trying to fill from you. So two empty people trying to fill from each other, it's not going to work very well.
Mm. You know? So Denise, it's a very, very deep human trait that if you're feeling remotely down, off, not fine, slightly off the mark, it's human nature to reach out to another person. Mm. Okay, that's an exceptionally deep trait. It's many believe it's part of what makes us human, that sense of belonging. There's no right or wrong in that, is there? Now, you were saying that if the soul is empty, it should go higher. Does that mean that you're taking from human beings' finishes?
Well, when you're taking from a human being, and if that human being that you're taking from represents themselves as a source for you, they're going to run out pretty quickly, and they're going to feel disturbed because you are taking energy from them and they can't manage that, you see. Love is a very interesting example of it. You get a person who says, okay, I love you, and they see somebody who looks good, they say, I love you. What that means is, I think that you can make me feel better. So it's all about drawing energy from another person. You might have heard this expression, energy vampire. Have you heard that?
Yes, I have.
So what is an energy vampire?
Okay,
it's someone.
Country from where I come. It's called an energy thief.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, either
yours
way.
Is more graphic. blood sucking.
Well, that's the thing. You know, somebody looks at you and starts thinking, okay, I'm going to really consume this person and just squeeze them out and throw them away. You know, this is what's happening in a lot of human relationships. It's predatory because people are so empty.
Hold on. Relationships are predatory. And why do you say that?
Because someone is really empty. They see someone nice, juicy person. I'm gonna, I'm gonna take their energy.
Mm.
You know, and of course they feel good for 5 minutes, and then they're empty again.
And they could look for more juice.
Yes.
Mm.
Now, if you would turn your attention to the right source, the big source, then you can draw on that energy as much as you want. It's not going to run out, you see. And so I think what God is saying to humanity is, you're all empty. No use trying to fill from each other. It's just not going to work. I am the ocean. Fill from me and you will get what you're looking for. So I think that the difficulty is that God is incorporeal. God is spiritual, purely spiritual, pure consciousness.
What do you mean when you say incorporeal? What does that mean?
That means there's nothing physical there at all. This is a bodiless soul. We are embodied souls. So we have body. You can see somebody's body. You can't see their soul, you know. But you know the soul is there because the, you know, the personality and the attributes are coming through. The action, the vibrations, the face, all of these things. So that the body is an instrument that allows a soul to be perceived by another soul through their body. So this combination of soul and body is required for us to interact with each other. But the Supreme Soul is bodiless. And so you can't see, you can't hear, you can't, you know, make contact through the normal channels.
Mm.
The only instrument you have through which you can make contact is the mind. And the mind is part of your soul, it's not physical. And the mind is also a very subtle sense perception organ, so that you can actually perceive God with your mind if you would be able to orient your mind correctly. And in order to orient your mind correctly, you have to have clarity. Where is God? What is God? How do I, you know, connect? And so the other instrument that you have is your intelligence. So your intelligence needs information so that your actual willpower, your capacity for understanding, can orient the mind, and then the mind can then experience and actually taste and feel and absorb the energy of God. And this is how the soul gets repleted from being depleted.
Okay, so if one is going about one's life in an ordinary way, and then you now decide that you want to include God in it, there's a whole lot happening in here. Okay, there's a whole lot happening in your life. What you said is easier said than done, isn't it? How do you pull it off, Sister Denise? Because he is intangible, invisible. Forming a relationship with him is a mental thing, a heart thing. It's not, isn't it?
Yes.
So how do you make that connection? How do you sustain that connection when your mind is all over the place and people are busy? People have lives.
Well, I think the first
trying
thing...
to put out all the fires in their lives.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Mm. You know, a person gets to a point in their life where they say something's missing. with all of these things going on and so forth, as soon as a person starts to feel something like there's something missing, then they start looking for it. They don't know what they're looking for, but they know it when they see it. Basically, that's how it works. So if you experience something that feels right, or if you hear something that sounds right, your seeker self will say, oh, okay, there's a clue. You know, it's like a treasure hunt. You need your clues to get to your treasure. You don't know what the treasure is, but every so often you get a clue and then you're ahead. I think this is what happens to people, and gradually you start becoming clearer. Usually people don't say, I'm looking for God. You more often find people saying, I'm trying to find truth, or I'm trying to find happiness. They will look for something that could be provided by God, but very rarely you find people who are actually looking for God. And okay, even if you're looking for God, what do you do when you're looking for God? What is God? You don't know. Different religions will describe God slightly, not much. And so you don't have much to go on. So you know, well, God is pure, God is truth, God is wise, God knows. You have a few ideas. Then you have to really ask yourself this question, do you believe in God? And that's a deep question.
Okay, so that's where it starts.
Well, yes.
Okay. Unfortunately, that brings us to the end of today's talk. Sister Denise has shared her thoughts on inner power, the fact that we are all spiritually depleted, and the only source of what it is the soul needs is from God Himself, and certainly not from any human being, because although they may want to, they've got nothing to give us. So a very clear and definite message, and I hope that it does inspire you to look at yourself, ask yourself what is your inner condition, and also ask yourself what your own relationship with God is. Sister Denise, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for your wisdom. We will see all of you again soon. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.